Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
I don't even know how to start this.
How do you start a show that's not a show?
It's not really a show.
You know how you start it?
Like this?
Like this, my friend. it's like awkwardly initiating sex and you're both kind of not into it. You know, it's like, you know, like you sort
Wait,
of feel.
Hold on. You can be into it?
Well, I've heard rumors, you know, but you're like, maybe this? Like maybe I'll twiddle that thing or fiddle around. I don't know. Like, that we both feel sort of obligated.
So the outer thigh is not an androgynous zone.
I'll just like sort of rub at your shoulder area a bit. See if that.
Okay.
Is that working?
Hold on. I need to watch a couple of videos.
I'll just
to see if I can get this to work.
I'll just sort of
slap. And not like sexy videos either.
Yeah,
we're talking like instructional videos from YouTube from like a doctor on how to do this. Like a Dr. Ruth or something.
Oh,
that lady went ass to mouth. Come on.
You know, like, I got to say, Dr. Ruth has fucking done stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a woman who's fucking been there, done that.
Oh,
she's, yeah, absolutely.
She's one of those ladies that when she said, like, the way she talked about sex and the way she went about it was just so not clinical, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Whatever that word is, whatever the anti-clinical is, like, just fucking so just normal
human.
Speak.
She was so matter of fact, she could have been talking about, like, yeah, I mean, you make an omelet by putting your dick in her butt.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you
no.
do it. Like, wait, that's...
And she's got to be into it, too, you know?
Sure.
If she clenches, then,
but that's,
you know.
Right. Well, if not into it, at least not aggressively not into
oh,
it.
God. All right.
Don't want this. So, there we go.
There we go.
So there we go. So we're start. This is, you know what that was? That was the foreplay of the show.
All right.
We are warmed up.
Dr. Ruth approves.
We're all lubed and ready to go.
Okay. So we got a bunch of email, Tom.
We did.
And a couple of Facebook comments. I want to read a couple of these, specifically from one idiot. And I want to talk a little bit about, because we got messages about the Boomba.
That's terrible.
And we got messages about sort of the police shootings that have been happening and things like that. And it's something we want to talk about. And I think we want to kind of not be distracted by other stuff at this point. And it might be, you know, it might be 10 minutes long, it might be 30 minutes long. You and I have had at this point 4 or 5 conversations about this off
right.
the air,
right.
right? And so hopefully our conversations, we can pick and choose the best stuff from those conversations.
Why would we pick and choose the best stuff and put it in this show? I don't even understand. You're making an omelet by sticking a dick in a butt. That's not how any of this is done.
Chicken butt? So let's get started and talk about.
Sure.
We just went through the concealed carry classes in Illinois.
Right. What a fucking shit show.
And we want to start there, yeah. Right? I think we want to start there because that leads to a lot of this other stuff, a lot of the other stuff that's going on. So we did these concealed carry classes together. We decided we wanted to do them together. And there is a really, in my opinion, one of the reasons why I did it was the deep curiosity to see what is it that the government looks at and says, this is the highest level of bar that we can put out there for a civilian to have a firearm on them concealed at all times.
Right.
Not at all times, because clearly there's many buildings and places and festivals.
In Illinois,
and
it's like you can't bring that gun fucking anywhere. It's actually unbelievably restrictive.
It is. It's very restrictive, right? Yeah. And in some ways, for a good reason, I think.
I think it's great.
A very good reason. I would not want to go to a Lollapalooza, let's say.
And know that a bunch of drunk idiots are packing.
Could have a firearm. But we did these classes, and this was the highest level of rigor that Illinois looks at. And Illinois, one of the latest.
The latest
concealed carry state. They, fucking held their ass clenched as tight as they could for years and years and years, held on to laws that they had to get overturned, up on much higher levels of court to get like the handgun ban repealed and things like that. So there's been a lot of pushback in Illinois specifically against handguns, concealed carry. It's not been a thing.
We are a very restrictive state.
Absolutely.
But when I say that, I mean that like only in comparison with other states.
Yeah.
Because – and we'll get to this. But
sure.
I don't feel like this is a very restrictive
– Yeah.
The restriction – the most restrictive state, and we just went through it, and it's just like that.
That was it. That was it. And so let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Play the scene out for me of the students, Tom, in this classroom.
Okay. So the words lowest common denominator are the first words that leap to mind.
Sure.
Like, so there were, I don't know, 9 or 10 people in this class, right? Yeah. So it was you and I and then a bunch of other folks in this class. It was not a fucking packed house, first of all.
Yeah.
But there was – we'll go through them one by one. Like, there was a dude there who – the very first exercise we had to simulate – taking a weapon from somebody that was handing it to us with the purpose of handing it to us. We're not talking about like – we were not simulating like a combat scenario with a series of complex moves.
No.
You know, you'd have to train your – like you had to take a gun and then check and see if it was loaded.
You were essentially unloading the dishwasher.
Right. Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Not even that complicated, because a dishwasher might have more than one kind of dish in it.
Yeah.
It'd be like unloading the dishwasher has one plate, and all of your cabinets are marked plates go here, right? It's that fucking simple. And this motherfucker, he goes to like get this plastic gun from the instructor, and he's like doing every – like it was actually astonishing to see one person – perform that many wrong things
in a row.
Then he gets all fucking panicky.
The difference though is he got panicky, but then I was watching him and I was nervous. I was thinking to myself, because what was going through my mind is I'm going to be at a shooting range with this man tomorrow,
right?
And I do not trust him with a firearm.
I didn't trust him with the plastic firearm. It was a plastic gun that had a laser pointer.
It's essentially
in,
a laser,
right?
Pointer,
it was a laser pointer shaped like a gun, right? And like he was holding it, and I was just kind of like he was pointing it in every direction.
Sure, yeah, like
swinging it wildly
he's
around.
He's like fucking Yosemite Sam. I thought he was gonna like fucking like be like pew 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 and shoot himself off the ground with it.
He was sweating at one point.
Yeah, at one point he's sweating.
And all he had to do, I just want to tell everybody, all he had to do was take the gun from the instructor in a safe way, and then check and see if it was loaded.
Mimic to see that it was loaded.
Right.
And then hand the instructor back the firearm.
Right. And he was like – he started panicking and sweating. And I'm like, why do you want this? But you
Why do you want this?
Yeah.
You're terrified of a toy. And he's like, at one point he starts yelling, it's a toy. It's just a toy. It's just a toy. And the instructor was like, whoa, calm down. Like we're in this classroom, we're going to behave as if these guns are real guns for the purposes of simulation. It's not a toy for this simulation. Yeah. He's just like, God, I don't want to do it anymore. I thought he was going to fucking try to put it to his temple and fucking kill himself.
Shoot himself with a very low-powered laser.
To get out of the situation.
He has to spend there for – he has to sit there until he dies for it to actually kill him.
Can you imagine that there is going to be a date, first of all, with that guy where he is walking around with a gun on his hip? If there is ever a scenario where he has to use it, he will pull that gun out and shoot literally every object other than the assailant. Yeah. Like if there was somebody who was like, I'm going to murder you. He'd be like, hang on. I'm going to fucking go crazy fucking shooting gallery style. Shoot fucking – like he's like, shoot the wash tub. And there'll be like a fucking old grandpa that pops out. Like, da, 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 da.
I want to mention though, in the class, we were supposed to practice – trigger discipline in the class.
Right.
Throughout the entire class, whenever we held the gun up, we had to hold our finger above the trigger on the frame of the pistol. So we had to do this throughout the entire class. Every time we had the gun in our hand, the gun should be pointed down. Your hand should be above the trigger on the frame. When we held the gun up to start to shoot, we had to have our hand all above the trigger on the frame. Then we were allowed to put, basically it's just good trigger discipline, right? The guy, four times in the class yesterday, had to get told by the instructor, get your finger off the trigger.
He's going to shoot himself.
When he was mimicking to me today, outside in the fucking area where there were no guns, he specifically mimicked with his finger on the trigger.
There's not even a trigger. There's not even a gun in his hand. He's just like, what about my pew, 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 pew? Like, this guy was the most dangerous human being.
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
Like you would be safer giving a classroom full of toddlers live hand grenades.
this was the first person. Then the next person down, the next couple people down as we worked our way across the room.
Right.
They all like one of them didn't have any experience. One of them was a prepper. That was crazy.
He was crazy.
He scored
Guns McGee.
He scored on his test today all nines. Every single shot was a 9 at every different position except for one that was an 8.
Yeah, he was terrifying.
Yeah.
He kept asking questions like the rule in Illinois is like you get one gun,
yeah,
right?
You get a gun.
You don't need to carry fucking – you don't need to bristle with guns at all times. You don't need guns strapped to your guns to make them bigger fucking fancier guns.
Yeah.
And he was just like, so what about if I had a gun on me? And then another gun just out of arm's reach, but I could like lean over quick and get it. And like, what if one of the guns was like nestled gently in a bazooka's vagina? Like,
and you had to massage it slowly in order to have the gun emerge.
That guy wanted fucking every gun.
I'm going to say the exact question he said. So he said, how many bullets can I carry?
I know.
And the instructor said, well, I don't think there's any rule. He's like, I'm thinking about carrying 3 clips, 40 bullets. Does that seem,
and then he was like, is that okay?
Is that okay? And the instructor was like, I guess, but what do you need that many for?
Right.
And this is a guy I think that is expecting that when he has to use his concealed carry firearm, he's going to be in a prolonged shootout with masked assailants.
Yeah. He has a wet dream fantasy.
At least that's what it seemed like, right?
But look, man, that's the thing is that a lot of these guys, I think, have a wet dream fantasy where they get the firearm and they want to use it.
Right.
They're hoping someday that they get to use that gun.
Yeah.
I fucking hope that thing fucking disintegrates from dust and disuse.
Yeah. Never
used. Other than range time, right? I hope that gun never fucking leaves my side one time except for to fucking take it off and put it back in my safe, fucking disconnected with fucking tubes and rods and chains and locks
exactly.
All over it. Like, that's what I hope.
Yeah.
Like, but those guys, like, they're just like, well, what if I need more than 40 bullets? Like, when do you ever need more than 40 bullets? What are you? You're not the police.
You're not sieging a place.
Right.
What do you need 40 bullets for anyway? Are you fucking going to Fallujah? like, what the fuck?
Like, if you need more than 40 bullets, you need a fucking battering ram and a catapult. Like,
so another couple people in the class were that guy was now of the people in the class with a gun. I still don't trust that guy.
Yeah,
right?
Because his level of proficiency, fine. He was very proficient with the weapon. Like, that's fine. But he had like that dude is fucking bloodlusty.
Yeah, and the question you're saying, can I have a gun in my car? He specifically asked. You know, we're making jokes about it, but he said, can I have a gun that I carry and keep in my car for protection and also have on my person my concealed carry gun? And then when I leave the car, I would have the concealed carry gun with me and leave my protection gun, my specific, I guess, car specific gun in the car. I don't know what it is.
What is that?
And the instructor had to go out of his way to tell him, no, you can't do that. You can't have more than a gun on you at the same time. You can't walk in and two gun it. You can't two gun it fucking Sam Elliott.
Right.
You can't do it. And so there's that guy again, another guy, you know. The thing is at the end of the day, I looked at everybody in the class, including me, and I thought, I don't trust anybody in here with a gun.
Right.
There's a couple guys in there that were overzealous. Three guys in there that I think were pretty overzealous. Two guys in there that were flat fucking clueless.
Yep.
Another guy in there that was I don't even – like you said, I don't even think he came to the wrong class.
I'm not sure if he understood. His English skills were at a fucking bare minimum. I'm not sure he was in the right place. Yeah. I think he just was too shy to leave.
Yeah, and then there was another guy who was it felt like he was constantly playing with the laser pointer. The
Asian kid in front of us would not put his fucking fake gun down. He had it taken away.
He had it taken away from him in the class. This is the class we took. This is the breakfast club of fucking concealed carry. This is a random sample of Illinois concealed carry in Chicago.
Right.
In a place where, you know, a lot of people across the country seem to point to and say, this is a place that needs more concealed carry, right? We just took it with a bunch of people that I am actually actively afraid they're going to have guns.
Yes, they all should have failed something. Like, the instructor should have just been like, whoa, not you. And then let's talk about the hours, right?
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be 16 hours of training, like 8 hours of classroom and then 8 hours of qualifying on the range.
That's what the government asked them to do, right? And the 8 hours of qualifying is the NRA's gun safety fucking hoedown that they do or whatever.
Right.
And then there's some concealed carry stuff, but very little.
Yeah, right. Basically like some basic stuff about the state laws. Yeah.
And then we're supposed to have range time the second day.
Right.
And then a qualifying test. Now, the test is that after you take the written test, there is – we'll talk about the written test in a future. I'm just telling them what the thing is.
Right.
For this particular class – now, I don't know what the actual restrictions are for Illinois, but 16 hours is required to get your concealed carry. You can get a waived out of it if you are military. You can get waived out of part of it. And if you're, you know, some of those people that are like, you know, active duty something or another can get waived out of part of it. But if you're just a civilian like us and don't have any other experience, it's 16 hours and then you have to take a shooting test. And our particular one required a written test. So the shooting test is the max. It's 10 rounds at three different locations. The farthest away from you is 30 feet. The closest from you is essentially
like you could spit at it.
Yeah. Like if you missed at the closest one.
They should shoot you. They should shoot you.
No, if you missed the closest one, you shot yourself.
Right, that's true.
So actually, nobody has to do anything.
That's actually true because if you miss that, the target is so close. It is so close for the first one. The only way to miss it would be to reverse the gun into your own chest.
And the guys who were running this were not watching me shoot.
No.
So if I could have put a bunch of holes in the center, made it, punched it out at the beginning, and then just missed all the actual outer.
And just been like, I'm done.
I could have just shot it off into the distance.
Yeah.
And been like, yeah, I got it all through all the holes in the center. That little punched out area is where I shot
them
all through.
Right.
Because they didn't pay attention. They didn't even look at me.
They can't even count.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even look. They just, you wheel your targety thing back in and you're like, yeah, I fucking killed that plastic man or that paper man. Yeah, fucking super
dead. Paper man that I could take 30 minutes shooting this test because there's no time limit.
Right.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. So that was the rigorous shooting test, which I thought was going to be a lot worse and was not bad at all. It turns out that was actually very easy. The take-home test that you had to take from this place.
Take-home. It's take-home.
It was a take-home test.
First of all,
literally a take-home test. I'm not sure again if this is a test that the Illinois requires or not. They did ask for it.
Right.
So I don't know. But the take home test was, it was as easy as the David Icke quizzes we give every week.
It was
as easy. There was three easy. Really, 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 really not fucking true answers for most of them.
Right.
And one that you're like, yeah, that has to be it.
Or like all the above. And it's like, if it's not all, it's so blatantly all of the above.
If there was any all of the above, that's what it was for every question.
And then the standard, it's a 50 question test that took fucking like 7 minutes to fucking fill out, and it was like nothing. And if you got that test, and we don't know what the pass fail standard of that was, but the pass fail standard on the fucking shooting test
was 70%.
Was 70%.
Yeah.
So let's assume it was fucking 70%. Dude, you could get 15 wrong on that. If you got 15 wrong,
If you got 15 wrong, you just skipped the whole class that he taught earlier in the day.
Right.
And you've never touched a firearm or thought about what firearms could do to other people.
If you got 15 wrong, it could be fucking Wheel of Fortune, and it could be the fucking, the word is gun, and it could have fucking G, U, and Vanna's turning it over so you can see the N a little bit. And you'd be like, gut?
Is it
Gus? Gum? Golly!
Guy? No, that's not it. Sorry, sir.
Jesus fucking Christ! That shit was fucking easy.
It is fail at life easy. So we did this thing.
Yep.
That is lowest common denominator in every single
life. Oh my, yes.
And we learned a little. I did learn a little bit. I have to admit that in this class, I learned a little bit.
Yeah.
I learned about
when he finally got around to instructing
it. Yeah. It was, you know, clearing. I'm not going to talk about any of the other stuff that takes forever or whatever. Blah blah blah. Paperwork bullshit. But we were talking about 16-hour rigor.
Right.
16 hours worth of test. We spent 5 hours in the classroom yesterday that was not filling out paperwork, and 25 minutes on the range today.
Tops, dude.
So six total hours, you think, on this? And it's 18 hours required by law?
Yeah.
And we spent 6 hours doing this?
Yeah. And it was seriously, like, when I say lowest common denominator, like, if you apply, all you have to do is just give them a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's just like,
it's just,
can you,
it's
can
just
you fill
cost
out your,
prohibitive. Yes. That's all it is.
And it is expensive as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, because we showed up and it's like, yeah, okay, here's my money. And he's just like, you need to keep giving me subsequent sums of more money.
There's biometric print scans. Right. There's a background check. There's, you know, there's all this extra stuff. There's the permit itself.
But I have no faith in any of that.
There's the permit itself. The class that we paid for costs, you know, a quarter, you know,
a couple million dollars.
Yeah, like $1 million. It was like everything was extra. Everything cost something. And so this it's cost prohibitive. It is cost prohibitive. The gate is cost prohibitive.
Yes.
It's a lot of money. Spend a lot of money doing it. The rigor, I just don't think is there. And yes, this is anecdotal, guys. This is fucking, this
yeah, maybe
is
your
totally
class experience
fucking
was different.
Anecdotal. I can't stress that enough. But this is, it doesn't matter if it's anecdotal or not, because my license is the exact same license as yours.
Dude, a goldfish could have gotten that license. If a goldfish had about $900, a fucking goldfish could have gotten
it. Could
that
have
license.
Shot that test with flipper hand, and it would have been fine. One of the guys in the class never shot a gun in his life and qualified today.
Right. And is going to be allowed to take a gun and put it on his fucking hip and tuck his shirt over it. And just walk around as a dude in the street that you meet, that like this guy couldn't fucking rub two brain cells together. he was a stupid person. He was scared and stupid.
That is exactly it. He was scared and stupid. And you do this because you're scared.
Right.
You have to look around the room at all the other people and be like, yeah, we're all afraid.
Right.
We're all afraid. Everybody in this room
is
afraid.
Driven.
This is a fear-driven thing.
Right.
Nobody in this room is here because they're super duper brave. Everybody in this room is here to get a gun to hold on with them at some point because they're afraid.
Right. Well, I remember when you and I had a conversation initially about whether we were going to do this, you know, and I was like, absolutely not. Like, you know, I remember saying in a different conversation with a friend of mine, like, this is a concession to fear. I won't live a life with concessions to fear. Guns make me – like, Handguns as a means of personal protection piss me off because they make little men feel big.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. And I don't, I will not be a little man who feels big because he fucking carries a pistol on his
head. I agree with you.
I still did it.
Yeah.
Because there were other considerations as part of that conversation that outweighed my revulsion at having to do this.
Sure.
But yeah, this is fear driven, right? Yeah. I know that we've talked about this in the past, but you know, the more this becomes a norm, because this is new in Illinois.
Yeah.
This is relatively new in Illinois. But the more this becomes a norm, you know, like the more fucking yokels.
The more fucking Cletus the slack-jawed yokel gets a fucking gun.
And you're just going to fucking walk around. And that fucking instructor was telling us, and I don't know how true this is, that the likelihood is as this law continues forward that it will be revised to make it less restrictive in terms of the places you can carry a firearm in Illinois. And I do think that's probably the case. I think that
as he said, when he wrote his slides up, you could not carry him on public transportation, and now you can.
Right.
So time goes on, that will just be that those restrictions will come out. Right. You know, pretty soon Harold Washington Library will have to scrape the sticker off. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not saying I don't know what the other states have, but pretty much every single government building, every place where they serve alcohol, every place where there's a festival, every place where, you know, there's kids around, every place. I mean, all places that I'm like kind of like, yep, all right, public building, yep, sounds good. Yep, yeah, it's a government owns it. Nope, that's not a good place to have guns. You know, like there's all these places, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of agree with all those places. That's great. Let's presume that there will be no guns.
I kind of wish they would just expand that to America.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, but if they're not going to, then fucking that yokel motherfucker is going to walk around. Dude, that guy will fucking drop that gun, fucking juggle it, fucking throw it at somebody.
Another thing that we got a chance to see was things that they showed us as videos yesterday.
Oh,
so we got a chance to see several videos. And in this video, you have a guy who's standing in front of a fucking Target, this fat fucking yokel. He's standing in front of a Target and he's giving this fucking talk about how he's he's not putting this video up there so that he could be fucking get sympathy or something. I'm thinking, and both Tom and I were like, we have no sympathy for you.
I couldn't fucking import sympathy.
Nothing I could do to get it. And I will say, he pulls his gun out of his holster. He's practicing with a loaded weapon in his holster, which I suspect you would have to do. We didn't really learn about this at all in class, so I have no idea
how to pull properly.
We didn't learn anything. We just essentially learned how to make sure a gun, you know, wouldn't hurt you if you were cleaning it and things like that.
Right.
And so here we are in this class watching this video, and this guy pulls this gun out while he's standing in front of it, and he fucking shoots his fucking leg. He fucking slides the safety off as he's pulling up. His hand pulls on the trigger and whap, fucking shoots himself right in the leg. Looks at the camera. He's like, fuck.
It's funny.
The funniest thing I've seen. I've never laughed so hard at a guy shooting himself. And he walks off and he fucking blows his own leg off. And that's, shoots himself in the fucking leg. There's a bullet hole, the entry and exit wound. We saw another guy cleaning a fucking gun.
Oh, okay.
He's just sitting there. He's got himself his gun out and he's talking and he's like, yeah, and to move this slide, you just got to. And he fucking pulls the trigger and the gun goes off. And then he's just sitting there and he's got his finger on the trigger and the gun goes off and his hand kind of slowly goes down. And at 20 seconds, nothing happens. And finally, in the class, I just scream out. I'm like, is he dead? What the fuck happened? And then because all you can see in this video is just a picture of his hand. And then a second later, he drops the gun and kind of walks away. But he shot his table. He was cleaning his gun up.
Hey, right. Well, there were two more. Well, there was this fucking kid who's got this shotgun, and he's fucking trying to give a review, I think. I think what he was trying to do was a YouTube review of an Ithaca shotgun he had just purchased.
Yeah.
And the guy couldn't get a fact right.
Oh, no.
Like, he was like,
he's talking about trench warfare in World War II.
He's like, yeah, this gun was invented in the war. I don't know which one, the trench one. You can stick it in the mud and ram it up a Jap's ass or something.
He was
horrible. Like, everything he said was like,
annoying.
Was horrible and just wrong.
Yeah.
And he's moving his gun around, like, with his finger constantly on the trigger and pointing at everything.
Yeah.
And then he's like, here's how you load it. He loads the gun and he racks the shell and he's like, burp, dee, 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 and he fucking shoots his ceiling. And he's like, oh.
And then he shuts the video off. And then another dipshit has got his shotgun and he's shooting water bottles on the ground.
He's not because he misses it.
Okay, so he misses water bottles that are 10 feet away from him with a shotgun. I have no idea how you do this. Misses water bottles and then he has what they call a hanging fire round where you shoot the gun, the primer goes off, and then nothing happens, right? So then you're waiting for the gun to actually go off, but you don't know. You think maybe it's a bad load. So he immediately takes the gun and points it at his own face to look inside the barrel. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what? I don't even know what your end game is. I don't even know what is the fucking point of that?
You can't see down the barrel. What would you?
I don't know what your, like, I don't know what your end game. And it shoots his fucking hat right off his head. It
he
shoots
got
his
so
hat.
Lucky.
And I hope it cut half his forehead off, but I don't know. It shot his hat right off his own head.
Oh, God, it's the funniest fucking video. I'm sorry, but that video, I laughed so hard when he turns that gun in his own face and he's like, I'm going to watch, man. And our instructor, by the way, he shows us all these videos. And this guy couldn't find a fuck in a forest of fucks to give. Because he's not like, oh, it's going to be graphic or you're about to see someone die or like whatever. He's just like, click, click. Like, you're watching, and you're like, this guy's going to shoot his face. He's going to shoot himself right in his own face.
He does, and he lives through it.
He lives. He's okay. But several videos we watched.
People died. Yeah, he showed one where two police officers were not only shot, but a guy walked up to him right to their face and shot him while they were on the ground.
It's terrible.
And you're just like, this is,
why
would
you? Show me this.
One, I'm not a police officer. I'm never going to use this stuff. None of that stuff I was ever going to use. I don't know what the purpose of that video even had. I just don't get it.
It's scary, right? Yeah. Like, because like, and the instructor's like, see how he, you know, allowed too much distance between himself and the suspect. I'm like, I'm not arresting people. I don't have this gun because I want to run around and be like, see, the scene's a ass. See, the scene's a ass. I'm not doing that shit. I'm like a fucking, like if I have that fucking gun on my hip and somebody's looting the fucking jewelry store, I'm running away.
Exactly. I'm running as fast as I can and be like, if they looked at me and be like, you're not running anywhere, I'd be like, okay, can I help you to your car?
I know, right?
Is there anything I got? Can I shine your fucking shoes, man? Whatever you need. I don't care. Like, it's just ridiculous. This guy is like, yeah. And they showed a video of this active shooter situation that I was super uncomfortable with the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, a shooter comes in to your office building, and, like, all they need, like, the video did not have to have the graphic depictions of fucking somebody slaughtering dude, like, helpless people in their
office. Or the music, the soundtrack that came with it. The swelling of the music when they attack the attacker. I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
No, what they should play is the fucking scene from Saving Private Ryan when you attack the attacker. Yeah, that scene, right. The end one where they're all dead,
right?
Yeah,
like Arlington Cemetery.
Jesus Christ, I couldn't. I mean, but it's like
it encourages vigilantism.
But I really feel like there's a lot of these guys, and he used a lot of the language, the same language. Bad guys. He kept talking about bad guys,
shit.
Bad guys, bad guys, and you know, like look, I know when I'm in a situation, if I'm ever in a situation where that gun has to come out, I'm not thinking of good and bad.
Right.
All I'm thinking about is my life and trying to get away from the situation with it intact. That's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about, you know, no, there's no moral fucking dilemma that's a good or a bad guy. I don't have to fucking pretend that this is a bad guy or a good guy. All I have to worry about is this in fucking, you know, person going to give me grievous bodily harm or death.
Right.
And if they
and
are.
And I can't get away.
Yeah, and I can't get away.
I can't get away. Because my first thing is like, you want to fucking? I gotta leave. I'm gonna go away.
I don't want to die or get grievously bodily injured. Those
and
are things I don't. Look
I don't
forward
want to kill someone.
Yeah.
There's no way where I fucking kill somebody and then I wake up the next day and feel good about myself.
Sure.
Like even if they fucking had it coming, even if they had a fucking shirt that I put a hole in that said I'm shooting Tom today. If I kill somebody, that's gonna be like I'm gonna be like. I'll just go to therapy now.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to fucking feel real not good about
this. Is there
any
way I can put a tent in your lobby?
Right,
I'm probably
exactly.
going to stay here for a bit.
You know, honestly, like, I'm not a guy who wants to fucking kill
people. I don't
want to
think about that.
Even if it's okay for me to do, even if I can get intellectually behind the act of the necessity of doing it. Like, I have no interest or desire to kill somebody, to be responsible for somebody else's demise. That concept gives me nothing but fucking revulsion.
Yeah.
But they're like answering questions in class like, well, can you kill him like just a little bit? Like, can we kill him and drag the body back into the house?
The guy said that as a joke.
You know, but again, like what I worry about is that the presence of a gun on somebody's hip gives people like some kind of like quasi police authority, or they think it does, or You know, like I said, like it makes little men feel big, right? So it's like, well, I can fucking intervene. Well, maybe you could run away. Like yeah. Let's de-escalate. De-escalate. Yeah. Always fucking de-escalate.
Yeah. So while we talk about that and we finish that, what comes into our feed a lot today, specifically on the way back from this place, we found out that there was a shooting in Baton Rouge this morning of police officers. The Dallas police officers were shot. And specifically, I want to read a couple of comments that we got on our Facebook wall. And then I also want to talk about some of the emails that we got specifically from police officers. We received emails from police officers and people supporting the police officers that were that sounded like a couple of them said they were frustrated. And so we want to address those, but we definitely want to talk about what was on our Facebook wall really quickly. So a person posted on our wall and said that you guys are poisoning the well when you compare the Dallas shootings to the Boston bombings or Aurora shootings. Micah Johnson was only targeting police officers, whereas the other attacks were indiscriminate. Talking about how the threat was to the general public is misleading because he wasn't targeting the general public. The thing is that in that shooting, two civilians were injured, right? So the shooting, I'm looking at Wikipedia here, five officers were killed, nine others, and two civilians were injured.
Well, I don't think that's poisoning the well to talk about. I don't understand how it's poisoning the well, I guess. Like, so this guy is aiming just for the police. Are we supposed to assume, oh, he's just aiming for the police, there's no threat to the general public?
Or that
why would I assume that? Because clearly he's hit other people. He could miss and hit. Even if his full intention was only to shoot at the police, which is a fucking despicable thing to do. Let me get that right out there.
Throw that out there.
Let me just make sure so that I cannot possibly be misunderstood. That is 100% fucking extravagantly not okay. So that's just so that's said.
Yeah, yeah.
But even if that were somehow changed the considerations of the event, and I don't think that it does, but even if that did change the considerations of the event, the general public is safe when a sniper from an elevated position chooses targets that aren't me.
Yeah. When is that a good idea? Is that good?
I don't understand. I'm misunderstanding the poisoning the well.
No, because I think he's an idiot. So let me read his second statement, because the person is an idiot, and I just want to read his second bit. He said, and by the way, all cops are bastards. Five less pigs out there perpetuating class oppression. One was a white supremacist and the other four complicit to working with one. What are the odds you throw five rocks at random cops and one happens to be a white supremacist? How many more racists are there on the police force? And I want to read another thing that he wrote in a second, but let's go through line by line. Five less pigs out there perpetuating class oppression. When you sign up to be a police officer, you don't have to check a box that says, I want to fucking perpetuate class oppression, you fucking retard, okay? That's not something that they do, okay? The idea that you think that they somehow go out every day thinking they're going to perpetuate class oppression is putting a motivation on them and giving you justification to kill them.
Right.
That's a fucking stupid thing to say. And then when you say, what's the chances of you throwing a rock and hitting a white supremacist, five rocks and hitting a white supremacist in Texas? I don't know. Pretty good, I guess. Fucking, I don't know, man. Fair to Midland, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, when you say how many more racists are there on the police force, I don't know.
Give me some stats.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I will say that there are some times that I see a shooting, like the one in Chicago. Let's talk about the one in Chicago. That kid who's walking away. He's just fucking walking down the street and the guy gets out of his car and he just fucking shoots a million bullets into him. And then he falls down and he shoots a million more bullets. He's fucking dead already. And they shot him more times than you would need to shoot like fucking, I don't even know, like a fucking charging rhinoceros. And they shot him more times and they just fucking kept shooting him. He's on the ground. Oh, fucking, I thought I saw him twitch. That is fucking awful, awful thing to do. Do I think that one leads to racism? Maybe that one links to racism, right? But, you know, like, I think that there's a lot of poor fucking training out there. We talked about this last time. The amount of killings in the United States that happen are probably mostly because of firearms. They're mostly, in my opinion, probably because they don't know that they have a gun. In Canada, they don't do this sort of thing. They don't carry guns around with them the same way. So they just, there's probably not a chance they have a gun. Look at the other killings in the other countries we talked about. Those places don't have guns readily available to the public.
Right.
So when a fucking Italian police officer pulls me up and goes, hey, forget about it. He doesn't think his life is in danger.
Yeah. Not in the same way as in the States.
Not in the same way. Yeah. Everybody can have a gun. Yeah. Every person can have a gun.
I want to speak to that real quick because I want to tie it back to our previous conversation about the concealed carry class. One of the things that was of most concern to me in that class, and this is being taught by a former police officer, was how to behave with a gun on your hip if you get stopped by a cop, because it changes the whole equation.
Yep.
It changes the entire equation. Yep. Like, and all of a sudden, I'm scared and he's scared and everybody's scared. That you take a fucking routine traffic stop and you take it from a 1 to at least a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
Because somebody has a gun on their hip or on their person. And that cop walking up to my door or my window of my car or seeing me on the street or engaging me in any way throughout the course of his day, he cannot reasonably assume I am unarmed.
Yeah.
And that is problematic. And that requires tremendous training.
And I think that what happens more, you know, I mean, you know, look, I don't know the exact reason why people are killing other people, why cops are killing civilians, why that's happening. But I will say that what the data points to, when you look at that particular line of data, that amount of people in comparison to other countries, you know, what's that factor that's between us and them? And it's the guns, man.
Yeah,
it's the chance to have guns. Now, is it training? Possibly. There's a good chance it could be training. The officer, the ex-officer that was teaching our class yesterday said most of these things are training problems. And one of the major things, and I have no idea if this is true, this is just what he said, but he said the first thing that gets cut in any place, you know, when they need to cut budgets, is they cut the training out.
Yeah.
And so these people, you know, they go to the range and they shoot a few things to qualify. The cops shoot to qualify, but they're not talking about anything else. They're not talking about anything else that, you know, that goes into police work or, you know, stopping somebody, the suspects, all that, you know, all the stuff that,
right,
you know, that you need to know as a police officer. So, you know, I think that it's a really complex issue. Do I think it's the capitalist oligarchy that's doing this? You're a fucking idiot, dude.
You know, there was a time I was going to be a cop. There was a time where I considered it when I was between – I was never between jobs, but my jobs were meaningless and I hated them. And I was like, you know, I want to do something that makes a difference every day. Like, I want to do something that feels like something. And I considered being a cop.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the other thing, too. Fuck this fucking guy who's fucking writing this garbage out there. Pigs are dead. You know how many people get into law enforcement because they fucking want to help other human beings?
That's a real consideration.
You fucking degenerate.
Yeah. Right.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, 5 pigs are dead. Never listen to our show. Uninstall from your pod. Go listen to somebody else. But, you know, there's so many people, and I hear it with fucking doctors too, and they're like, oh, the doctors are just out for money. Like, fucking, there's so many people who get in the fucking medical profession specifically because they're good people and want to help somebody else. I know there's cops out there that do the same thing. Now, do I think that there's cops out there that want to fucking break a couple heads and want to have
absolutely
some fucking
there are.
A there are. Yeah, absolutely.
But don't paint with that brush.
But yeah, you know, when you say, like, are all cops out there to break a couple fucking heads? I don't think that's the case. I think you're stupid when you say that's the case. I know there's a lot of good people out there that become police officers. I don't have badge envy. I don't have like fucking a police blowjob syndrome here where I'm treating them like the military. Yeah, it's a job that has to get done. It's a job they signed up for. Whatever. I'm not gonna you know, say that all cops are heroes.
Right.
I'm not saying that. But I just want to say, like, fucking to paint them with the other side of that broad brush is stupid as fuck. Now let's talk about some of the emails we got. We had a moral quandary with the Boomba.
With the Boomba.
Okay?
We did.
Both of us.
We did. I still do.
Both of us sat back and said, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. And, like, that's my position on this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I still feel like I don't know either. I feel like I'm a little farther toward the Boomba than you are.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
I think we are. Talked this morning.
I'm willing to let the Boomba go a little farther than you are.
Yes. Yes.
And I think the reason I'm willing to do that is because I don't want to think that, you know, we talked about slippery slope, right? And one of the things that you're worried about and that I am less worried about is this going to be a precedent now? Is this going to be a thing where, you know, What if fucking the chief of police has tickets to the opera and wants to get there a little faster? It doesn't sure. want he wants this thing to get over quicker. You know, whatever it is, you know, they just want to make sure it gets over faster, and they have an opportunity to use this way of, you know, and I know you don't even call it detaining somebody, a way of diffusing a situation, and they are able to do it. They're able to do it by, you know, sending plastic explosive in and exploding a person. I think in this particular case, I don't know that there's anything else. And we had people saying, you know, why don't they put like gas or something in there? And, you know, I don't know that that's a thing. And this guy said he was going to blow some shit up and, you know, that sort of thing. So I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know what the protocol is, you know?
Right. And I don't want a Monday morning quarterback. And I don't want to come off this way either. I don't want to be the Monday morning quarterback of a situation that volatile that I'm not involved in, that my life isn't on the line for. But as a person who doesn't have to make the decisions in the moment, I have an opportunity to try to be objective about how comfortable I am with this kind of thing happening. So the Dallas event to me is sort of like, okay, I put that off in this corner and it lives in a box. But how comfortable am I with this as a concept? How comfortable am I with this as a concept that the police now have? Would I be comfortable with the police having custom-built suspect-killing robots?
Yeah.
And I don't feel very comfortable with that concept. It's, you know, do I want them flying around in with Predator drones?
Yeah.
You know, I don't. I don't want that.
You want them to have a police bulldozer that just bulldozes houses over? You even said that earlier.
Yeah.
And that's not a robot. That's just a device that even a person can be in. Yeah.
In your example, like, well, okay, so you got, you know, a drug dealer who's killed six people, we think.
Yeah.
Right? We don't know because he hasn't been tried.
Yeah.
Right? But we think, the police totally think it's him, and he's in the house, and we're pretty sure he's there by himself, so why not just set it on fire?
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I mean, and I ask that not rhetorically. Why not just set that house on fire? If you feel like you really know, right?
Yeah.
Like, but you know, the problem that I have is that the police are not, their job is not to say that's a bad guy, we're going to kill him.
Yeah.
That's not your actual job.
Yeah.
Your job is different than that. And I don't know how comfortable I am with having a level of murder related killing related technologies that are so divorced from the person, so that people don't have to put themselves in it. If I have to put myself in danger in order to accomplish killing somebody, maybe that gives me pause in how I engage a situation. But if I never have to find myself in danger and I can kill that guy, I get to be the one without the benefit of a judge and a jury of deciding that guy deserves to die and it costs me literally nothing to do it.
Yeah.
And that makes me very uncomfortable.
You said something this morning that I think really does define the whole thing for me. You said, you know, we talked about this yesterday in the class. You're not allowed to use your firearm unless you're in great bodily danger, unless you're in danger of losing your life or great bodily harm. Unless it's imminent. It's imminent danger. It's worded very specifically. Right. Imminent danger to your person in a very big way, not in a fucking small way. When they say like great bodily harm, they don't mean, you know,
somebody, high cholesterol.
Somebody's got a BB gun. Right. You know what I mean? Like they mean specifically imminent danger and death. Those are the two major things, right? When that happens, you're allowed to act with deadly force. And it's not deadly force. He even told us it's stopping the threat. You're there to stop the threat. And so the thing that I think you said this morning that really resonates is, there's a level of premeditation to what the officers are doing in this particular case. They are premeditating to go in and stop this particular thing. It's not that they're in danger now because everybody's out of the line of sight, et cetera. They are in a mild level of danger, not the, oh, fuck, I think I just soiled my pants because I'm about ready to get shot level of danger, right?
Right.
It's a moderate level of danger because the guy's threatening bombs, the guy's threatening to shoot other people, et cetera. But he's not, at this point, you know, everybody that can get shot, I think, is probably in the cover or out of the way. You know what I mean? Like, there's not going to be a shooting right now because you're clearly talking to him. So there was some talking back and forth. So in order for that to be danger, like what we talked about earlier, danger like, you know, you're in a jewelry store trying to stop a shooting, and a guy pulls a gun on you, and then you pull your gun in there, blah, 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 and there's a shooting, right? It's not like that. It's sitting back, like you said, and saying, I can send this in and kill this guy. And and you feel uneasy with it.
I do.
And I recognize that. I think I don't know that I feel uneasy with this particular instance, because I realize that somebody saying that they have bombs all over the place when they've already proven that they can kill five people pretty easily, and they probably have military training. You don't know that, I guess, at the time, but you know it after the fact. It's one of those things that I'm like, man, that guy's dead, and I don't care.
But here,
I don't
care. As kind of a quasi business person, my very second thought was, someone is going to custom make police suspect killing robots.
Sure.
Because what they did is they used an improvised robot, right? They used a bomb. What they used is the kind of robot that the bomb squad uses to defuse bombs in a safe way. They don't defuse. They fucking blow up what they think is a bomb with a smaller bomb, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they used, and they just improvised on it. And my very first thought was, man, if I was a technologies company, I would see this and say, here's an opportunity for me to begin selling and marketing suspect killing robots.
Yeah.
Well, I'm super fucking uncomfortable. Like, that's not a pipe, because it's like my second thought.
Yeah.
It's my, if I'm the manufacturer of the bomb disposal robot, I'd be like, wow, guys, this is a market opportunity. Let's build a better robot. It's a mousetraps issue, you know? I'm uncomfortable with these technologies. They're so military in nature. Now, I'm not uncomfortable with the military having these. I'm very comfortable with the military having drones. I think that's fine. With the military having fucking seek and destroy type robots, I think that's totally fine. It's the military. Your actual job is killing people. The police's actual job is not killing people. That's not your job. That is an unfortunate byproduct of keeping the civilian population safe.
Yeah.
I am very uncomfortable when the level of technology used to kill our own citizens ratchets up to that level. It just gives me so much pause. It makes me uneasy.
Okay. I think you've explained your position well enough, right? I think I still am a little bit farther in. I'm like, I feel like I still feel uncomfortable about the house thing. And we did get a message about Waco, by the way.
Yeah.
Someone else sent a message about Waco. So, you know, there's some things that I'm a little uncomfortable with. I do want to reach out to all the police officers that we talked, you know, we talked about this particular thing. I don't want those people to die.
No.
I don't want to trade one of their lives, right, for this guy's life.
No.
I think this guy, you know, say what you will about, you know, whatever, this guy's a terrorist. This guy's a person,
right,
who I wouldn't want to trade one of their lives for. Now, would I be happier if they could catch him and try him? Yes, I would be much happier if that was the case. Yeah. I would be much happier if that man sat trial. I would be much happier if that man had a jury of his peers. I would be much, much happier if he spent the rest of his life in jail. That would make me more happy. But in the situation, I'm not willing to trade one of their lives for his. I'm not willing to do that. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up, right?
I think we're done yelling
for a little while. Yeah. So take this as you will. It's just,
I don't know what this is.
It's a couple of guys' opinions on some things. Yeah. They're mostly guns, pretty much guns.
It's the gun show.
Yeah. This is the. Do you got tickets? All right. Let's wrap this up.
All right.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.